tree's ghost introducing the next scene. In the next scene, we have a playtime, a scene from Hard Candy with Rye Guy and Sunshine McDuff.
Did you just call me? Sorry, I was just looking through your medicine cabinet. Okay, boring! No Valley the Doll stuff at all. Can't help but wondering why all the lubricants, though. Oh, hey, just tell me when you're ready. You know, take your time.
Did you?
You remember what I said about not drinking anything? You didn't mix yourself. That's good advice for everyone. Look, I'm sorry you're jerked for so long. I mean, I've never really done that before, and I swiped this bottle from my dad. Didn't come with directions, and it's not like I could just ask him how much to use. So I probably used too much. Or those screwdrivers could have affected my judgment. Have some water. It'll help you come to. It's real water. Scout's Honor.
Why do I get tied up first? If this is how we're gonna play.
Jeff, playtime is over. Now it's time to wake up.
This isn't funny. What, is this some teenage joke?
Teenage? Yes. Joke? No.
Alright, let me go.
Patience.
Let me go!
Patience!
Let me go!
Patience! I'm just checking out this side of the house, okay? It was great. And the killer, well, he thought he cleaned up all the evidence, but some of the victim's blood got on his shirt. Yeah, sure, he washed it, but some of the dried up blood got caught in a lint trap. So, I mean, anything in here I should know about?
What the fuck are you doing?
It's kind of been my question, Jeff. What the fuck are you doing? Living in a house full of pictures of half-naked teenage girls? Oh, none of whom you've ever done it with.
Ow!
There's really no point in taking any risks, Jeff. Yeah, technically, I could let you scream your fucking brains out because nobody would ever hear you. Yeah, I waited till today because Mr. Colans is at work. And the Caracoses? Well, they're vacationing in Santa Barbara. Still. Can't just have some pedestrian just happening by as you're screaming. So shut up, or next time it's gonna be bleach, okay?
You've been stalking me?
Okay, all right, let's get this straight. You have been stalking me. Yeah, I went into other chat rooms with different screen names, and you would get to know each woman. As soon as you found out they were any older than me, you would drop them, just like that. You took your time sniffing out someone my age.
Hey, I didn't talk to the others because they were boring. You and I connected.
Oh, right.
Oh, what? Come on, you think I faked all that?
Oh, you know, actually, it's kind of funny. Because every time I mentioned some, like, obscure singer or band, you knew so much about them. But not right away. It was like a few minutes later. Maybe to give you enough time to look them up on the web? Jeff, you use the same phrases about Goldfrapp as I do on Amazon.com. Busted. By the way, I fucking hate Goldfrapp.
Hey, come on. I wanted to impress you. Am I the first guy to do something stupid to impress a girl? Does that deserve being tied up and tortured?
Torture. Is this torture to you? Because, wow, I guess you've never read anything from the Human Rights Watch or Amnesty International. Because this is nothing. Of course you're not the first guy to lie to a girl, Jeff. The operative word being girl, though. You know how old I am. What makes someone who's barely passed her first period worth all that research? I gotta wonder about a grown man who goes to such trouble to charm a girl. Hey, there's that word again. Girl. You know, maybe it's this whole camera thing. Computers, cameras. They let you hide a little, don't they? So safe. I heard how your voice changed when the camera came between us.
My voice changed because I felt sick. Because you drugged me.
Yeah, you were drugged all right. And the drug was sweet little 14-year-old flesh.
Look, I'm a decent guy. Ask anyone. Go ahead, call these models. They'll tell you.
Of course they will, Jeff. You're not an idiot. You don't piss where you live. Those girls were your work. And I, on the other hand, was your play.
You were coming on to me.
Come on, that's what they always say, Jeff.
Who?
Who? The pedophiles, Jeff. She was so sexy. She was asking for it. Or she was only technically a girl. She acted like a woman. It's just so easy to blame a kid, isn't it? Just because a girl knows how to imitate a woman doesn't mean she's ready to do what a woman does. I mean, you're the grown-up here. If a kid is experimenting and says something flirtatious, you ignore it. You don't encourage it. If a kid says, hey, let's make screwdrivers, you take the alcohol away and you don't race them to the next drink.
Okay, look, I've been lonely, okay, and that makes me stupid, but I am not a pedophile. Look, this is some kind of horrible mistake.
Look,
untie me now and we
I'm
can forget that this all happened.
And therefore not stupid. Huh? I untie you, you might understandably be a little peeved. So when I'm ready to go, I will call a cab and I'll call another one to let you loose.
What will that be?
I'm not sure yet.
Are you recording?
I am recording.
So, Trick or Treat, I'll just go first, because I like going first, and you hate it, so. Ryguy, I think playing hurt and freaked out like this is really difficult to do. Motley did it so well last week, and I think you did it really well this week, and you keep impressing me with the choices you make, so kudos.
Mm-hmm.
And Alisa, like, you started out the scene, like, kind of playful, and then when you went all serious on the playtime is over part, I thought you did a great job at switching it up like that and making it sound real. Because a lot of times, like say, Motley Fool last scene, when or two scenes ago, when he went into the crying, it was like an awkward transition. But you did it really well, I thought, and you went all evil and, well, I mean, understandably, not really evil, but you went into, like, the...
Oh, 4 out of 5 you know. Doctors agree she is, in fact, insane.
Yeah. I thought you both did a good job this scene. This, as far as acting goes, I think this is probably my favorite so far.
Sweet.
Because I thought everybody was on, like, the whole time in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think, Trick or Treat?
I really liked it, because, one, this is from one of my favorite movies of all time, and two, you guys did great justice to the characters, and oh my god, my fan's really loud. So, notes I took while editing. Ryguy sent me all his lines in one file, and that was all in one take.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, but Dylan, he did it all in one take. See, that would have been...
He did all of it in one take?
Yeah.
How do you know he didn't stop and record?
Well, I don't know. He only did one take of each line, so whatever, it doesn't matter.
That's impressive, though, yeah. That he did all that in one take.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Elisa gave me 3 takes of each of hers. Sunshine, I mean. And then...
Don't tell her real name, then all the pedophiles can stalk her.
Aw, but she won't be a kid for much longer. The only notes I took while listening to this were, Lisa, you mispronounced Coughlin, Carrasco's, and alcohol. But, that's not even a real issue. Alcohol, it's the new drink, every kid's drinking it. I think you both, you did such a great job with this, and every single note I had on the characterization, you took to heart, and I love that you take direction! Honestly, that's something really big. If a director writes something like, Extraordinarily Terrified, you're not gonna give a take of, oh my god, this is terrifying. You're going to give a much more terrified take. So...
Yeah, it must be nice to have actors that take direction.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
If it's any consolation, nice Dylan, not all my actors took direction. You will see this. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, Josh had a lot of notes on his lines for Vizzini, and he didn't seem to take too many of them to heart either. Like, one was really, really mad, and he didn't sound really, really mad. Anyway, so, and, oh god, Raigai, I want so much to believe you that you're not a pedophile. Thank you so much for that, because that's honestly the one thing about Hard Candy that I love, is that I don't want to hate Patrick Wilson, goddammit! So, yeah. That is all.
Because he's dreamy, right?
Yes, he's dreamy, just like Patrick Wilson.
I think.
Oh, baby.
Do you think Raigai? Do you think Raigai is dreamy?
I don't know. I don't know, Dylan. Do you think Raigai is dreamy?
I think Raigai is dreamy.
Okay, well, Raigai, there you go. You have a fanboy.
Yeah, yeah. You're welcome, Raigai. You're welcome. Are we done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, look. That was shorter. Alright, so I gotta go shop for fabric and all that fun stuff. Anyway, so I'm gonna half-ass the introductions just like I should. Oh, yeah. So, next up we have Russ and Ian doing a scene from Sun Like It Hot.
It looks so small from the beach, but when you're on it, it looks more like a cruiser or a destroyer.
It's just regulation size. We have 3 like this.
3?
Yes. Mother keeps hers in Southampton. Daddy's got his in Venezuela. The company's made a new pipeline.
My daddy's more interested in railroads, Baltimore and Ohio.
Hmm.
So, which is the port and which is the starboard?
Well, that depends. That depends on whether you're coming or going. I mean, normally, the aft is on other side of the boat from the stern, and that's the bridge so that you can get from one side of the boat to the other. Would you like a glass of champagne?
Love it. Which way?
This.
Oh, you got an upstairs and a downstairs.
Yes, that's the hurricane cellar. This way. Another nice thing about this yacht. Lots of closet space. Now, let's see. Where do you suppose the stewards set up the dining room?
In here.
Oh, yes. How silly of me. Of course, on Thursdays, they always serve me in the small salon.
It's exquisite. Like a floating mansion.
Well, it's all right for a bachelor.
What a beautiful fish.
Well, I caught him off Cape Hatteras.
What is it?
It's a member of the herring family.
A herring? Isn't it amazing how they seem to get those big fish in those little jars?
They shrink when they're marinated. Champagne?
Oh, don't mind if I do.
Well, down the hatch, as we say at sea.
Bon voyage. Oh. Look at all that silverware.
Trophies, you know, skiing, dog breeding, Water polo.
Water polo? Isn't that terribly dangerous?
I'll say. I had two ponies drown under me.
Where's your shell collection?
Oh, yes. Let's see. Where could they have put it? You see, on Thursdays, I'm sort of lost around here.
What's on Thursdays?
It's the cruise day off.
You mean we're alone on the boat?
Completely.
You know, I've never been completely alone with a man before in the middle of the night in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, it's perfectly safe. We're well anchored. The ship's in ship-ship shape, and the Coast Guard has promised to call me if there are any icebergs around.
It's not the icebergs, but there are certain men who would take advantage of a situation like this.
You're flattering me.
Of course, I'm sure you're a gentleman.
Oh, it's not that. It's just that I'm... harmless.
Harmless? How?
Well, I don't know how to put it, but I've got this thing about girls.
What thing?
They just leave me cold.
You mean, like, frigid?
Well, it's more like a mental block. When I'm with a girl, it does absolutely nothing to me.
Have you tried?
Have I? I'm trying all the time. Oh. See? Nothing.
Nothing. At all?
Complete washout.
That just makes me feel awful.
Oh, my dear, it's not your fault. It's just that every now and then Mother Nature throws somebody a dirty curve. Something goes wrong inside.
You mean you can't fall in love?
Not anymore. I was in love, but I would rather not talk about it. Would you like a little cold pheasant?
What happened?
I don't want to bore you.
Oh, you couldn't possibly...
Well, it was my freshman year at Princeton. There was this girl. Her name was Nellie. Her father was the vice president of Hupmobile. She wore glasses, too. That summer, we spent our summer vacation at the Grand Canyon. We were standing in the highest ledge, watching the sunset. Suddenly, we got this impulse to kiss. I took off my glasses. She took off her glasses. I took a step toward her. She took a step toward me.
Oh, no.
Yes. 8 hours later, they brought her up by mule. I gave her 3 transfusions. We had the same type blood, type O. But it was too late.
Oh, talk about sad.
Ever since then, null. No feelings. Like my heart was shot full of Novocaine.
Oh, you poor boy.
Yes. All the money in the world, and what good is it? Would you like mint sauce or cranberries?
How can you think about food at a time like this?
What else is there for me?
Is it that hopeless?
My family did everything they could. Hired the most beautiful French upstairs maids. Hired me a special tutor to read me all those books that were banned in Boston. Imported a whole troupe of Balinese dancers. You know, the ones with the bells on their ankles and those long fingernails. What a waste of money.
Have you ever tried American girls?
Why?
Was that anything?
Thanks, just the same.
You should see a doctor. A good doctor.
Oh, I have. I spent 6 months in Vienna with Professor Freud, flat on my back. Then there were the Mayo brothers. Injections, hypnosis, mineral baths. If I wasn't such a coward, I'd kill myself.
Oh, don't say that. There must be some girl someplace that could...
If I ever found a girl who could, I'd marry her just like that.
Would you do me a favor?
Certainly. What is it?
I mean, I'm no Dr. Freud or a Mayo brother or one of those French upstairs girls, but... Could I take another crack at it?
Well, all right, if you insist.
Anything this time?
I'm afraid not. Terribly sorry.
Would you like some more champagne? Maybe if we had some music. How do we dim these lights?
Look, it's terribly sweet of you to want to help out, but it's no use. I think the light switch is over there. That's the radio. It's like taking someone to a concert who's tone deaf.
Here... Have mine, too. You're not giving yourself a chance. Don't fight it. Relax.
Oh. Oh. Mm. Oh. Oh. like smoking without inhaling.
So, inhale.
Oh.
Are you recording?
I am recording, Dylan.
I'm glad you're recording, Trick or Treat.
Yes.
So, okay. Russ, I thought you were really funny in this, and the only note I really have is that the voice you were doing, especially towards in the very beginning of the scene, there were hints of you kind of slipping in and out of it, barely. It was not that noticeable, though, so I'm not going to dock you too many hypothetical points for that, so it's all good. But, I think this scene is a good contrast between conversational and not, because Russ's lines sounded really conversational and believable, and like, I would have thought that the two of them had rehearsed this scene if Eden / Mr. Kitty wasn't so bad in the scene. And I love you, Eden / Mr. Kitty, but this was not a great scene for you, and that makes me sad because you've been so good in everything else that you've done, but the lines were really dry, and, like, there was nothing behind them, and it was just kind of like you were reciting the lines and not feeling them. Mm-hmm. So, there's people that are getting better, and then people that are leveling off, and people that are getting worse. And the question is whether this was just a bad week, or whether your weakness is scenes that don't involve insane animal experts. So, I don't know, Mr. Kitty / Eden. The don't fight it, relax part towards the end, though, when you got all seductive, that was really good, and I would like to hear you do all your scenes in that voice, because it would make me happy. As a man. That's all my critique, though. Go ahead, Trick-or-Treat.
Okay, let's see here. My notes were, Russ had mostly two takes, and then, like, towards the end there were more that had three takes, and then Eden had individual fun.
Why are you giving these notes about who did what takes? I'm just curious.
Because, well, I don't know. Honestly, if I was a contestant, I'd find it interesting, you know, who
does
probably, one take.
I would, too. Go
right?
Continue. I'm an idiot.
So, anyway, Eden, I'm going to now bitch you out for the fact that, one, you did individual files per take. So, yeah, you labeled them as I instructed you not to.
If somebody does that, I don't use them.
Huh?
Don't use them if she does that.
I honestly, I'm not going to take it next week. If anybody does this to me next week, especially because this scene is so long, I was ready to kill myself, and I actually had to take a break. I had most of this edited yesterday, and then, half of it edited yesterday.
So you're the reason for the holdup, Eden. It's all your fault. If the show's late, it's Eden / Mr. Kitty's fault.
And then you did mostly two takes, and then there were some three later on. Honestly, this week, I'm also being very lenient on the fact that some people didn't label it, like, according to the line number. I can't remember if I specified where the line numbers were, but I'm not taking it next week. If you don't put your line numbers as I instructed you to put your line numbers, I'm going to go freaking insane because I'm going to lose track. And I did.
Believe
like
me,
three times. While
I have had to hear about these line numbers all week from her in IMs. All about the line numbers all the time. That's all Trick-or-Treat talked about this week.
Oh, yeah. And then you gave me a fourth take at one point. And I was like, what the fuck?
Did you say in your email no more than three takes this
yes,
week? Because I
forgot. I'm pretty sure I did.
All right, calm down.
And then, I think it was line 27D, and I think I liked it the most of all of them. So you should have gotten rid of A or something like that, or B or C. Clearly, I liked D most. Anyway,
all right. I think you can stop bitching her out for the way she submitted lines now.
So, Russ, I kind of gave this one out of an experiment to see whether you would go for a lack of emotion or if you would over-dramatize it. And I've noticed, like, as a tendency, you tend to put more drama into your voice as opposed to less. And so, yeah, it was mostly an experiment on my part. I loved how flustered you were in the beginning. Then you sort of, like, got used to where you were and the fact that you were supposed to be the hotshot bachelor with less emotion. Unfortunately, it does say that, like, he doesn't feel at some point in the script, And, like, I know you did give me some takes of rather emotionless, well, not emotionless, but, like, less overdramatic lines, honestly, I liked your emotional ones a lot more, because it was a lot funnier. So that's cool. That's cool. Eden, I noticed that you were blowing out the mic a little bit. You have a very sweet voice, and if you could take that sweet voice and put emotion into it, you'd be great! The thing about Sugar's character, especially in this scene, is that she's supposed to contrast with Joe's character. Since Joe's supposed to be lacking emotion, Sugar is so over the top with emotion, and there were two points in here that I made clear. There were only like two times that I actually gave you clear emotion. One of them was mortified, the other one was seduced, darling. And I did not think you were mortified when you did your mortified one. I was okay with your seduction, but your mortifying, not so much. It made me very sad, because she's supposed to feel. She's very feeling. She's stupid, so she's allowed to feel. Anyway. Yeah.
Do you feel better now, Trick-or-Treat?
I do. I do.
You've got that all out of your system?
Yeah, and that's why, also, the sound effects in this one suck.
Huh?
The sound effects in this one suck. I was almost convinced that this was Eye for an Eye in the very beginning, because it's the same sound effect I used for that. And then I just gave up at some point, and I wasn't opening doors anymore, and I was just like, screw it.
I never open doors.
I don't have an opening door sound, so it just made it that much harder. I have closing
doors. I don't have one either.
Why
and I'm not going to manually open the doors.
Anyway.
Forget that. Anyway.
I'm done.
So, yeah. It was a mixed review for you two.
Yeah.
Well, mostly for Mr. Kitty / Eden.
Yeah, but I liked Russ for the most part, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're done here.